Welcome back, and joining me for a look at the equity space is Martin Smith from Anchor Capital and Jacobus Brink from Novara. Thank you to the both of you for joining us. Starting off with you, Jacobus, as we're going into the second half of 2022, are you finding that investors are more worried about a global recession, or are investors increasingly accepting the possibility of a recession?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, we obviously started it off the first half of the year much more pessimistic than I think most of us were hoping for. You know, we see bonds in the US having their worst start to a year, and I think about 100 and something years, you know. So I think especially over the past few days, you know, obviously the buzzword for the first half of the year seems to have been inflation. But now over the last few days, you know, with some of the data coming out, we've really seen the market starting to pivot to the possibility of actually pricing in a recession. You know, it remains to be seen whether we're actually going to go into a stagflationary environment, which would obviously be the worst case scenario. But, you know, some of the numbers out of the US this afternoon also, you know, indicating and looking at the PCI numbers from yesterday, you know, that inflation might be sort of starting to slow down a little bit. Nothing to write home about yet, but I think the market, you know, at this stage is entirely just focused on the probability of a recession.
Just sticking with you, Jacobus, you mentioned that PCE number that came out yesterday, so we had that. It wasn't bad. But it still wasn't a major win. And then you had consumer confidence coming out disappointing, and also consumer spending. So are these significant early signs of a souring economy, especially looking at the state of the consumer, which has largely remained resilient for the most part of the first half?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I think a lot of commentators, including Chairman Powell, have actually been referring to the consumer that has stayed resilient. We have actually for at some time now actually been sort of a little bit skeptical on that. You know, I'm not actually sure that the U.S. consumer is in such a good position as you know a lot of commentators are alluding to. You know, we've seen a lot of the consumer spending that we've seen switch from sort of stimulus spending to credit spending. You know, and that's not necessarily a good sign if the consumer starts to spend on credit as opposed to from their savings, you know. So, and that together with, you know, we've seen some of the housing numbers coming out of the U.S. So I think, you know, 70% of the U.S. GDP is made up of the consumer, or is reliant on the consumer. And I do think the consumer is in a worse position than we might think.
Yeah, Martin, we've really had mixed data from the U.S. this week. Let's get into the positive news. So, we actually had some of the major banks increasing their dividends after they passed that stress test. And of course, I mentioned that PCE that was encouraging, although it wasn't anything to write home about. So the markets, though, didn't really latch on to that positivity. Is the negative sentiment right now just overshadowing any bit of good news that we get?
I think so. And what we've seen is you have the market rally for a day or two and people think, okay, well, maybe we're starting to bottom out. And then it just gets sold off quite aggressively. I mean, we saw a perfect example of that this week. Market nicely up at the beginning of the week. Wednesday, Thursday getting sold down quite aggressively, specifically Wednesday. So again, there's a lot of overhangs and kind of pick your poison, I guess. You've got worries about Chinese housing, Chinese COVID stories, Chinese growth. The war in Russia and Ukraine that I think people have almost forgotten about because it's been going on for a lot longer than people initially anticipated. And then obviously the overhangs in the States with inflation in the U.S., inflation and recession. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going on at the moment. And I think until we have some type of certainty around it, I think it would take a lot of positivity or some big positive news to kind of move the market, if that makes sense, because of these big overhangs that are there. And I think we'll still see a little bit of seesaw up and down, but I think ultimately until we have some proper news flow from the big overhangs, I think that will maybe kind of tread water until then.
Let's bring it back home. Jacobus, how are you feeling about the data that did come out of South Africa this week? So we had consumer confidence at a more than a 30-year high. We also had producer price inflation coming in at 14.7%, the sixth time or the sixth month that it's been in double digits. I mean, how are you looking at the outlook for the economy for the second half? I mean, we're also getting a lot of institutions coming in and downgrading their forecasts for this year.
Yeah, you know, I think South Africa to us is a little bit of a standout at this stage. You know, I think there just has been so much bad news sort of almost priced into the economy for a number of years in a row now that, you know, anything that just sort of looks a little bit even to the positive side, you know, might actually play out that way. So we are actually fairly, you know, if you compare DMs to EMs, you know, we're fairly bullish on the emerging market space. And I think South Africa is not necessarily in a too bad position. You know, obviously, yes, we're also going to battle with things like inflation. You know, the rolling blackouts obviously doesn't make things easier either. But, you know, I think in general, you know, as the consumer numbers show, you know, I think there is a little bit more to be optimistic about in South Africa in comparison to some of the other countries in the world.
Mm. Let's go into banking, a sector that's very closely linked to the economy. Martin, I know that you are quite bullish on the sector. I know that you like FirstRand. But how about Absa? They're busy with a shakeup in their leadership and also their operating model. I mean, is this something that should sway investors?
Yeah, so I mean, you're definitely right. I am quite positive on the banks. I think you've had a bit of a sell-off recently, giving you nice entry points. But I think ultimately they've been very well positioned kind of coming out of COVID, but also now in the rising interest rate environment, you obviously got that margin expansion coming through. That obviously also holds true for Absa. So like you mentioned, FirstRand, yes, is kind of our core holding, but we are holding some Absas and some Standard Banks as well. Absa's operationally looking really good. I mean, well-capitalized business operation, like I said, doing well. I think is looking cheap if you look at the kind of historic multiples. So yeah, we've been holding Absa. We like Absa as a kind of holding. And yes, you might have a little bit of a kind of overhang from that last 7.5% that Barclays had to sell down. But ultimately, yeah, still very, very happy to be holding and to be holding Absa at these levels, probably even be buying at these levels.
Okay. Jacobus, I know that you're saying that the outlook for the South African economy doesn't look too bad, but there is a deterioration, I mean, a souring of the economy. So how are you looking at the banking industry right now? I mean, how much more upside can we expect with the deteriorating situation?
I think, you know, it'll probably boil down to, you know, how does the non-performing loans, you know, those, the sort of debt overhang at the end of the day, play out for the banks, on a idiosyncratic basis. So, you know, it is obviously we're in a rising interest rate environment. So that obviously typically is historically good for banks. You know, I think the big thing is going to be, you know, but like Martin said, you know, the banks are in a fairly good position post COVID. You know, so I think the big thing from here on out is going to be, you know, how is a possible recessionary sort of environment in South Africa, if we reach that, how that is going to impact the consumer and obviously the non-performing side of those bank balance sheets. So I think that's the big question at the end of the day. But in general, I agree with Martin. You know, we're also fairly bullish on the financial sector as well.
All right, let's go into City Lodge that came out with news this morning, seeming that things are looking up. It's finally completed the sale of its East African operations. So they'll be using some of that money to reduce their debt that amounts to about 750 million rand. Share price up over 2%. Can City Lodge, Martin, in your eyes, do anything wrong at this point?
Well, let's talk about this thing that they've done right. So obviously this is a loss-making business that they've sold. I think they're going to net about 460 million from this. And like you pointed out, they're going to be paying some debt off. So that's obviously positive from a balance sheet perspective. If you look at City Lodge insofar as where their break-even point is from an occupancy perspective, it's around 39, 40. They now have occupancies kind of in the mid-40s. So they're starting to make a little bit of money. Pre-COVID, it was around 70, 80. So they've still got a way to go, but a large amount of what happens to this business is travel and restrictions and COVID and the like, and obviously if there's a recession and how that affects kind of global travel. So a lot of things still to play out. Yes, they are doing some things right, like you mentioned the sale of this business, but I think still a fair way to go insofar as kind of the overriding picture of what's happening there. And I think there's better places to make money on the JSE at the moment. Like I said, this could play out nicely, but I think there's more obvious places to go.
Would you be going into tourism, Yokobus, and specifically City Lodge at this point?
Yeah, well, you know, just from the sort of the latest numbers we've seen, you know, we're sitting at most of the airports, are sitting at about, I think, 95% of 2019 capacity, you know, so there definitely is some movement in that space. Where the City Lodge would be, my point of call firstly, not entirely sure, but you know, I like what they've been doing, with the debt reduction and everything recently. So I think they're definitely moving forward with regards to that. If it's a pure tourism play, yes, I think it probably is. It is one of the better plays out there.
Yeah. All right. We're going into your stock picks. 30 seconds each. Martin, your stock pick for today.
So we've been buying City, offshore. We think there's a nice self-help story there. Also very big dividend out of the business. Also looking very cheap from a price to book perspective. So I think City is what we've been buying. Yeah. Are you buying City?
All right. All right. And on your side, Yokobus, your stock pick?
City Bank and not City Lodge anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Your stock pick, Yokobus?
I was sort of tied today between are we going sort of big US defensive? I was sort of looking at Walmart maybe, but I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit, and we're still bullish on China. I think, you know, we've a lot of the numbers seems to have slowly starting to bottom. So I think Baidu, I mean, you can still buy this business at 2017 prices. You know, irrespective of whether the economy is open or closed, it shouldn't really affect their income statement and balance sheet so much. So I still think great entry price for a long term hold and buy.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time and your insights, gentlemen, on this Friday. That was
thank
Martin
you.
Smith from Anchor Capital and Yokobus Brink from Novara.